Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Freshly Booked on One Radio. Join us as we interview authors just beginning their literary journey. It doesn't matter how their book is published, the world agrees being a published author is a big step. We want to celebrate and spotlight these writers whose words were brought into the hands of readers. Listen in as they talk about their new experiences and join us in jubilation for those who are freshly booked.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to today's edition of Freshly Booked. I am Jennifer K. Taylor, here to host with you and introduce you to a fabulous author. I have to tell you, I've spent some time with her this week on the phone and through email, and she is a fabulous person, and you are going to absolutely love her. Her name is Jennifer Maimone, and I do believe I pronounced that right, but if I didn't, please correct me. We're going to be interviewing her today on her Alpha Wolf series. So, Jennifer, take it away. Tell us a little bit about you.
Well, my name is Jennifer Maimone, and easiest way to remember my last name, if anyone wants to repeat it, just say my money with an Italian accent, Maimone. Easiest way to remember. And I've been writing the Alpha Wolf series for about 2 years now. I'm currently, I finished the first book, and now I'm currently writing its sequel. And everything's going pretty much all really great with that.
All right. Well, to start off, tell us a little bit about your first release.
Well, the first release is called Demon's Prize, and it's a paranormal fiction, more so geared towards the genre of horror. And it centers the theme around demons, werewolves, witchcraft, etc. And it just brings all of the thing that makes this book different is that I try to bring as much actual history, as much of the true occult as possible into this book, and then trying to get that exceeded over to its next upcoming series.
Now, when you say that it is horror genre, what do you mean by that?
Well, some people that have read it, it's kind of funny. I personally did not see it as horror, but then as people kept reading it and I kept getting reviews about it, everyone's been saying how it's one of the scariest things they've read, or they couldn't read it at night. They had to make sure to read it during the day. Apparently, my uncle tried to read it, and he had to stop because it was too much for him. So apparently it was a horror, and I didn't even realize I had made one. But it's a frightening tale, and it's because I try to, not only when it comes to writing about demons and witchcraft, a lot of people put a lot of fantasy in that, but with mine, I try to make it as reality-based as possible.
And what would you classify your second novel that's coming out? What would you classify that as?
Oh, it's also going to be horror, and actually it's going to be even more intense than the first one. There's going to be, the thing that's interesting about my horror is that there's not that much bloodshed. There is some, but not a lot. It's more of preying upon people who are frightened by ghost stories or something of that sort, but bringing even more so intensity to it. And for the next book, there's going to be some very dark themes and elements. One of them will be categorized around the elements of rape and things of that sort, betrayal, etc.
And how are you publishing your books?
I'm actually a, I wouldn't really categorize myself as an independent author, although I am. I actually created my own small press. It's Light and Dark Imagination, which is its DBA, and I started it because I just didn't like the way certain print-on-demands were being done, as well as formal publishing, so I decided to make one of my own. And so I'm published through myself, through my own company, and got my own printer that I hired from a company in Florida. I did my own book covers. I do my own merchandising. I even did my own website, etc. Everything is 100% done in-house, including writing the book.
That is amazing. And I want to come back to that in just a little bit.
Sure.
Can you tell us a little bit about the inspiration behind these books? I'm trying to gear up into where you're going to actually feature your excerpt this afternoon. And this is actually a very unique point that you and I had talked about earlier this week. And I really want people to hear about your inspiration behind your books.
Well, it's kind of hard to explain, but I guess the one way I can say is that I'm an avid reader. I love reading books, especially paranormal fiction. And I've noticed that the more I keep reading, the less and less I was getting enthralled with the books. Excuse me. In my high school years, I had a book series that I adored. It was the Sweep series. And what made it really impactful to me is the fact that I could tell the author put a lot of research into this and put as much actual in-depth character development as well as true... The book is about witchcraft, and she put as much true Wicca into it as she possibly could while also doing her own creative licenses. And I didn't see that anymore. So I decided, make your own. And the thing is that's interesting is that a lot of things when it comes to vampires or werewolves, it started to get more about away from the way the cult actually sees them to, you know, the vampire is a tormented soul, even though they're supposed to not have a soul. The werewolf is just, you know, a rabid dog, but you don't see any more about other elements that are in it as well as historical references of how they were portrayed. So, again, I wanted to just bring that in and make the book that I've been looking for through my own hands.
Now, here's an interesting thing. You sent me over a graphic that we put in our reel today that it has the star in the middle, and it's got the circle, and you've got some information written around that. Tell everybody about that graphic.
Oh, you're talking about the pentagram of with the full moon circled around it, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so that is actually a poster that I sell through online as well as on my website. And it basically centers around, it's more predominantly seen in the Wiccan religion. There are some who put it towards werewolves and whatnot, which were most predominantly done by the Wolfman movie about having a pentagram on your palm. So it has some relation to it. And in the, let me actually quickly bring up the image so I can look at it with you. okay, so in it you have the werewolves, in the text that is, you have werewolves, vampires, spirits, humans, and witches. These are all elements that are within the Alpha Wolf series, all of whom are represented. And they're all within the same circle, all in the same genre, all in the same world. So that's kind of how that is done. And the full moon, the reason I did the full moon is because the book series is centered mostly around werewolves. And in it, I show the importance of the moon, of the pull of it, of why some change, some don't, etc.
I really like that. You've put so much thought and effort behind the series. It's not just a whim of, I think this is what I'm going to write about. I mean, you actually know about this stuff. Where did you do your research? How did you get there?
I've actually been into occult research-wise since I was in sixth grade. I remember my friend, she one day just brought over a book, and it was about unsolved mysteries, about the paranormal, etc. And I just got engrossed with it because I never thought that stuff might exist. I thought it was just all fairy tale in the, you know, fantasy sense. But it turned out there were people who were saying this stuff might exist. So I got really into it, started researching it all the way up into high school. It's kind of funny. I went to an all-girls high school, and I guess a lot of people thought I was a witch, but, you know, I told them, no, I research, I don't practice. But I do find the Wiccan way of being very beautiful. But nonetheless, a lot of research around it, and just something that's always stuck with me all my life. So when I wrote these books, I was calling upon information I already knew. But other things, such as, for instance, in one part of the book, I talk about this one charm that the witch makes to help protect the main characters. And it's a scarab with the Eye of Ra on its back. And she explains that this demon, who is Egyptian-based, I explain how they're related into the gods and how this symbol is meant to ward its properties, etc. I actually did have to do some research into that because I'm not predominantly, well, at the time, well-versed in the Egyptian faith. But obviously I looked into it, made sure my sources were correct before actually putting it on paper.
What do you think was the hardest part of the writing process for this series?
Actually getting it written down. Getting it written down, getting it out of my head and actually physically writing it down. That was definitely the hardest part. I'm even still struggling, not struggling, but having issues with that with the current book. I have all these ideas of how it's going to be, how it's going to flow, and I see it like a movie in my head. But what I need to do is put the movie on very slow motion and actually write in detail what I am seeing in my mind and transfer that onto paper while somehow invoking that same emotion that I'm calling upon in the image of my head and transferring that onto paper. That's probably the hardest.
I think that's the hardest part for me, because I'm like you. I see it in my head, and when I'm trying to write it, I know what I see. But when I have my husband or a friend read it, they're going, something's missing here. And I'm going, oh, stink. I've got to put that back in. So
I'm sorry, say that again?
Yes. I mean, beginning to end in like an hour and a half, 2 hours, it's great. You can read a ton of books that way, but it doesn't work.
Nope.
You miss a lot of details in the movies.
The easiest part, that's a good question. before writing or after writing? This is an important follow-up. Before writing and getting it published?
I would say just what's the easiest part in general? I know you've gone in a different direction than a lot of our other authors. You're taking over the whole entire piece. Mm-hmm. Most people either find a small press or something.
I guess for me, the easiest bit is actually making those graphics and the book cover design and whatnot, because I just love doing it. So because I enjoy doing it so much, I don't see it as work. And I taught myself Photoshop in order to do my own cover art and the posters and my website. I taught it to myself so that way I can make my own. And because a lot of people are more visual creatures than descriptive, the fact I can now take what's in my mind and visually make it, that's probably for me what's easiest, because I know how it's supposed to look.
Okay, we talked about the hardest and the easiest parts. What is your favorite part of this whole process?
There's two parts that I like. One is very egotistical, and the other is actually with work. The working part is when I'm actually imagining what's going to happen next, and I get excited when I think of or I imagine something that's going to be amazing. And I get excited, I'm anxious, I want to write it down, but first I got to do the first few chapters before I get to that part. And so to me, that's the best part. Now, the most egotistical side is when others tell me how they thought of my book and if they loved it or whatnot, but my ego loves it when people tell me what they think of my book.
Okay, let's actually get into your series. Tell us a little bit about your main characters.
Well, the two front main characters, protagonist-wise, are Brent Carson, Dr. Brent Carson, and Angela Dane. The main character and antagonist is the demon Eerot. And when it comes to Dr. Brent Carson, I don't want to say too much just to give away the story. Because the thing about Dr. Brent Carson is all centered around him. And he's a very socially withdrawn person who at the same time knows so much information that you have to wonder, is he really who he appears to be? Angela Dane is somewhat the direct opposite of myself. She is very impulsive, and while she is a very protective person, very loyal to her friends, she tends to speak before she thinks. So if she thinks that you're full of bullcrap, she's going to tell you. And then if you show her she needs to calm the F down, she'll realize it and get over it. But Angela Dane is, the thing about all of them is that they're all werewolves. One thing I want to make different about this book is usually it's always that she's a human and he's a something. I don't want to give away too much, but no one has that issue in this book. They're all werewolves. And we don't have that human who is trying to get to know them, or they see them from afar and they walk in slow motion. They realize they're amazing people and they fall in love at first sight. but they can't be together. Like, I didn't want to do that.
What can you tell us about the storyline?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Now, what can you tell us about the storyline of this book?
Well, I can easily tell you.
Just the size of the character.
I'm sorry, you're kind of went out there. Go ahead, say that again.
Sorry. What can you tell us about the storyline with, like, not just pertaining to the characters, but, like, more about your setting and things like that?
Well, tell you what. I'll go ahead and tell you what the book is fully about. For months, socially withdrawn Dr. Brent Carson has been reading about these women who have been abducted throughout the city, and the most recent article has revealed all of them may have been practitioners of witchcraft. So out of curiosity, Brent decides to personally investigate what is going on, but then becomes distracted when four friends move into the city, all of whom he knows are werewolves, except for Angela Dane, who is only half. Angela, now, like I said before, she's energetic, talented, and a very spirited girl, close to her friend, but the moment Brent sees Angela, there is something about her he finds disturbing. He can't understand why, but the first reaction towards her is one of hatred, inexplicably feeling as if she shouldn't even be alive. Now, later that night, Angela is attacked by a psychotic demon, Erot, who has been stealing paranormal beings for centuries and taking them to hell for his personal version of trafficking. Now, the demon is almost about to claim her as his newest prize, only to have his interest quickly switch over to Brent the moment he learns of his true identity.
A psychotic demon. You have my attention.
He is very psychotic. He'll do whatever it takes, and he doesn't care. He finds it hilarious if you're bleeding out. He finds it hilarious if you're screaming in pain, etc. He's the reason why a lot of my readers told me they have to read it in the daytime and not the nighttime.
Oh, my heavens. I have like three people I've got to tell about your book today.
Oh, please do. Please do. Yeah, if they want to find a copy, it's available on, you know, I got copies on Amazon. I have it available on the Kindle, as well as the Nook on Barnes & Noble. You can even find copies of it on my website. I have links to it to some bookstores that are selling it, such as Romans Bookstore in Pasadena, California, as well as the Book Soup in Hollywood, California.
Now, while we're on the subject, what is your website link?
Sure. It's just go to www.alphawolfseries.com. And just spell as it sounds, and you'll be taken right there. And it's really hard to miss. The first image you'll see is a big full moon.
And that's also your Twitter handle.
Yes, everything that you just put down Alpha Wolf Series, and that's Altha Wolf Series. You'll find it on Facebook, Twitter, Goodreads, etc.
Awesome. Well, if you don't mind, let's go ahead and do your excerpt reading from your book, because I really want to hear this.
Sure, no problem. So this is actually going to be an excerpt from the middle of the book, and I'm going to try to read this fast because it's almost exactly within the 5-minute range. So here we go. Brent shot up in a cold sweat, panting. He looked around, finding himself in his master bedroom, tangled in his bedsheets. Groaning, he fell back into his pillow, his heart racing, his nerves on edge. He took in a few deep breaths, calming himself. A dream, only a dream, he told himself, rubbing his face with his hands, no longer tired. Brent looked to his nightstand, reading the clock. The numbers glowed red, showing December 25th, 3 a.m. So much for resting up before Christmas, he grumbled, looking up at the dark ceiling and thinking about the nightmare, hating how it betrayed his mate. I secretly worried for a long time I've forgotten what you look like, Brent said to the quiet room, wondering if his wife's spirit might be able to hear him. I've already forgotten how you smelled, and your sound of your voice. All I have left is how I choose to remember you, so why was it like this nightmare was trying to rob my image of you? To me, you are not a corpse. You are someone who was stolen from me, and I refuse to let how I think of you be taken as well, Brent said, though he felt like he was talking to the air. That the sound of footsteps interrupted Brent's thoughts, lightly going down the hallway outside his locked bedroom door. Brent narrowed his eyes. He looked at back at the clock. 3:15 a.m. Apparently, even on Christmas, the wicked tries to make itself known, he growled, tossing the bedsheets off of him, his feet stepping down to the cool wooden floor. He walked to the spirit bedroom door, slowly when he heard the footsteps again. He reached for the doorknob, stopping when it began to rattle. He watched it try to turn, as if someone was struggling to quietly open it from the other side. His hands curled into fists, but he held back from opening the door and making an attack. He couldn't attack, and not until he knew if what he was hearing was an intruder or the haunting of a wandering spirit. Brent let out a cough, testing if it was an intruder or spirit, and the knob immediately stopped turning, silence looming in the air until the footsteps retreated away. Brent sighed. Intruder it is. I guess I should, he started, jumping in surprise when something had struck against the door, its intensity making the door shake on its hinges, the knob forcibly turning, fighting with the lock. Brent took a stunned step back, but then quickly advanced to the door, his eyes changing color. He turned the lock, bursting out of his room in an attack. Brent stopped into an empty hallway, seeing no one there. He looked to left and right, finding only shadows. Brent growled, now convinced there was no mortal intruder. His hand habitually reached for his cat charm around his neck, cursing to himself when he found it missing. Where'd it go? He impatiently asked. A rapid growl answered him, coming from the end of the hallway that led downstairs. Brent turned, seeing a large shape looking at the top of the stairway, the shadows hiding it. A claw the size of his head darted from the darkness, its talons crunching into the wood. Brent's eyes widened as it stepped forward, the creature looking like a mix of a dog and a gargoyle, its eyes red like volcanic fire. Its skin was a dark gray, with the texture of a reptile's hide in stone. The creature growled at Brent, exposing rows of canines dripping with saliva. Let this be another nightmare, Brent said with a frustrated sigh as the creature charged, its claws digging into the wooden floor for faster traction, knocking Brent down before he could react. The creature snapped its teeth at Brent, saliva dripping onto his face. Brent ignored it, focusing all his energy to make sure its teeth couldn't get at him. Though Brent's body immediately felt the need to change into his natural form, he suppressed it, deeming the use of his human hands as he wrapped them over the creature's throat, struggling to push it off. Brent held back a yell as the creature whipped its claws at his side, instantly breaking his ribs. Brent pushed at the creature's throat, his hands struggling to move to its upper and lower jaw. His palms in place, Brent began pushing. Heat burst through his hands, the monster's teeth digging into his palms. Brent's muscles bulged and his body acted on full adrenaline as he forced the jaw to come apart, replacing the creature's roars with screams of agony. Break! Brent shouted, again pushing his hands against the jagged teeth, causing them to go in deeper. His blood trailed down his arms as the teeth dug into his flesh, a few drops sprinkling onto his bare chest. The creature tried to shake Brent off, but then an ear-splitting snap filled the house. Black blood oozed out of the creature's mouth as its skin and bones began breaking apart. The creature let out agonizing roars, now trying to retreat from Brent. No, you don't. Brent snarled as he held on, his fingers digging into the creature's gums. Black blood gushed out when Brent tore the creature and threw the jaw and teeth aside, the canines sliding out from his palm. The creature's howl echoed down the hallway as it fled, vanishing into the dark black shadows, the house becoming quiet.
And that's it? You're going to stop right there?
Yes.
I
purposely
teaser.
Did that.
I love that.
Thank you.
I am not a horror fan, and I love that.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Now let me ask you this. When you're going, mm-hmm. when you're writing this, and you're in the middle of such a like a deep chapter, Do you ever feel stressed and get writer's block, or when do you think you actually get writer's block when you're working on your work?
I got that just a few months ago during the second book. Writer's block is a very natural thing. It happens to everyone, and the part that sucks is that sometimes it lasts a few days, and sometimes it can last for a month or even more. The thing is, because it's a series, I have no choice but to make myself get over it so that way my readers are able to read this book, hopefully by the second installment, hopefully by 2016.
That so is incredible. I am actually looking forward to this book.
Thank you, yeah. But the way I get over it is usually I just put my favorite music and I drive. The way I work is that the music I put on are usually movie soundtracks, and I use that as inspiration as I make movies per se in my own mind. I use the music I'm listening to as soundtrack to the scenes I am imagining. And once I think of a scene that just naturally comes to me, I take it and I go from there and repeat it in my mind over and over again until I have it either memorized by just loving it so much, or I just have it memorized and then I try to make sure to get that down, and hopefully that usually tends to break the writer's block.
Oh, that is incredible. I've never heard of somebody actually just sitting down and listening to music to work through it. I've heard of, you know, take a walk, do other things. And speaking of which, I'm sure there are other things that you do besides writing, correct?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I actually, for instance, I'm into archery. I shoot a longbow, 35-pound. Been doing that for a few years. I also, let's see here. I do, you know, photoshopping a lot. I really love to do that. I also help out with my parents by being a somewhat personal assistant to them. So, you know, also helping out there. I also do special effects makeup. I used to do special effects makeup for movies, which probably explains why I have a little bit of a twisted mind, because you know, I'm always making monsters and stuff like that. My specialty was to make wounds, so that's probably another reason why people were like, what's wrong with you?
Well, we have time for one more question, and
sure.
I've put this one off to the very end because I have a feeling I'm going to absolutely love this question. What advice do you have for other writers that are starting down this path?
Well, you have two choices. You either can go with publishing, let them do all the work for you, hopefully, because trust me, you still are going to be doing a lot of work. Or you can decide to do self-publishing, which will guarantee even more work. The thing is, it's work. It's not just sitting down, ooh, I'm going to do some writing. It's work. And you have to have a passion for it. If you're unsure of like how to do marketing, research it. If you're unsure of how to, like maybe I should make a blog, look into blogs, read other blogs, see how they're doing it, ask questions, join groups. It's not just about writing down your thoughts on the paper. It's so much more than that. You have to have the passion for it. Now, if hypothetically you're looking for, you know, some advice on what you need to do and whatnot, I do have a book that helped me out a lot. It helped me decide to make my own business as a small publisher and as a author. It's called Writing, Publishing, and Marketing, Your First Book or Seventh by Bobbi Christensen, and that's B-O-B-B-I-E Christensen. And that book really helped me out, and that's a good place to start. Just read that book through, and you'll get an idea of what you have in front of you.
That is absolutely great advice. And thank you so much for sharing all of your wisdom and your talents with us today. I truly appreciate it.
Just very quickly, if you go to my website, sometimes I write tips and advice for independent authors on what to do, what to expect, and whatnot. So feel free to go to my website, join my blog. You'll find even more information there where I tend to give, you know, like I said, tips and advice.
Fabulous. I can't wait to actually start digging into some of this information.
Thank you.
Speaking of which, I'm going to be featuring you on an edition of Ask the Editors coming up soon. So, guys, if you've enjoyed listening to Jennifer and have some questions for her, we'll be promoting that show later on this week to get you guys started. And thank you so much again for being here. It was a pleasure to have you on the show. I hope we can have you back again soon.
Yeah, pleasure all mine.
Have a great day. All right, bye.